Arizona could be on the verge of legalizing needle exchange programs. A bill to do that, among other provisions, has cleared the state Senate and is awaiting debate by the full House. Many other states have legalized these kinds of programs. A 2019 report from Kaiser Health News found 28 states allowed needle exchange programs. Supporters, like our next guest, say if Arizona follows suit, it'll have a big impact here. Haley Coles is executive director of Sonoran Prevention Works, a harm reduction organization which focuses mainly on substance use. She spoke with my co-host, Mark Brody.
Yeah, that's right. So this bill would explicitly authorize syringe service programs in the state of Arizona, which is absolutely crucial. It's been known for decades across the world and across the country that these programs are not only extremely effective in preventing the transmission of HIV and hepatitis C, but are also instrumental in preventing overdoses. The folks who come to these programs, many of them are oftentimes not accessing other resources due to stigma. And so the syringe service programs, lots of times, are the only places where they're getting resources for their health, where they're finding out more education. And I think that the legislature this year really gets that we need a way of reaching people, that we do not want people sharing syringes. And we know that withholding sterile syringes doesn't stop people from injecting, but having these programs out in the open, funded and accessible to people, that allows a bridge to be built so that we can support people through their substance use, through their recovery, and totally important, vital programs.
How do you think we got to this point? Because this is clearly not the first time a bill like this has been introduced in the legislature. Why do you think it is that more and more people are getting behind a program like this and legalizing it?
So this is our fourth year running this same legislation. And you're right, this year it has been pretty smooth sailing. There's really bipartisan support for it this year. And I think it's two things. I think that the first couple of years, there wasn't a lot of literacy around this topic. So we had to do a lot of myth busting. We had to go through the conversations of, no, these programs don't increase drug use. No, these programs don't increase syringe litter. They actually do the opposite. So I think it was partly that education. And then I think the other piece was COVID. You know, 2020, we saw the highest number of overdoses we have ever seen in Arizona and across the country. We know that we have to do something different, and syringe service programs offer an evidence-based solution to that.
How do groups like yours run these types of programs now, right? Because they're technically still illegal, and yet, you know, there are groups that still do them. How do those operate?
So The very first program that began operating in Arizona was actually through the Pima County Health Department, and it's been around for about 30 years. And county officials said, hey, we have to do something to intervene on HIV transmission. We are going to implement a syringe service program. And law enforcement agreed, we aren't going to enforce this part of the paraphernalia law that says that you're distributing paraphernalia, because we know how important this is. And we've seen that happen in multiple places across the state. So that's essentially how these programs have been able to operate, just with community support. And the real reason, one of the real reasons why we need this bill to pass, why we need it to be explicitly legal, is the majority of these programs throughout the state are volunteer run. In other states, these really are comprehensive wraparound kinds of programs, where you've got a medical provider there, you've got a social worker there, you've got a veterinarian there helping take care of people's pets when they come in to receive services. So in order for these programs to really be comprehensive, in order for us to have licensed professionals willing to work and volunteer at them, we need it to be explicitly legal.
Well, that's interesting, because I was going to ask if law enforcement is basically looking the other way and not stopping groups like yours from doing this thing, what the need for a legal program would be. It sounds like you can make it more robust, you can make it better, and there are things that maybe it's hard or not, you're not able to do now that you would be able to do if this was legal.
Absolutely. I mean, these should not only be run by volunteer community groups. So just like every other public health program, although it really should be community-based, we should be able to pay professionals to work there and to build out those programs, you know, to be able to have peer support specialists helping to run those programs, to be able to pay for transportation to folks who can't get to the program, to be able to show up, to be able to do deliveries. Like, unfortunately, this all costs money. And what we've been told over the years in trying to seek out funds for this is, you know, although some funders really understand the importance of the programs, they're just not willing to fund it with the way that the law is written.
Let's assume that this bill is signed into law. What kind of impact does that have on the people who would use this kind of program? And what kind of impact might it have on trying to reduce the number of overdoses that Arizona is seeing?
It would have an enormous impact. And, you know, I don't want to be Pollyannish and say that the legalization of syringe service programs is going to fix everything. Of course, it's not going to fix everything. Of course, it continues to take a multi-pronged approach. However, with the passage of this law, presumably there will be more syringe service programs opening up throughout the state. Existing programs will be able to become more robust, will be able to reach more people. They'll be able to give out more supplies, including overdose prevention supplies. So with more opportunities for individuals who use drugs to engage in these programs, there are more opportunities to give out naloxone, to give out fentanyl test strips, to talk about how to prevent an overdose and how to respond to one. And volunteers and staff at these programs are also well-trained in being able to refer people to treatment if people are ready for treatment. Additionally, you know, the law addresses several things, or the bill, I should say, addresses several pieces of concern. Obviously, if individuals are, you know, allowed to come to the program to access syringes, but then they can be arrested for possession of a syringe, that's not going to be very effective. So in the law, we do have some provisions built in where if an individual can essentially prove that they are a member of one of these programs, then they also will not be able to be arrested for possession of paraphernalia.
All right. That is Haley Coles, Executive Director of Sonoran Prevention Works. Haley, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark.